Hi, folks. I am Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
My first question, though, is out of your entire body of work, from books to DVDs and interviews that you've done, what do you believe, where would be a good starting point for people to learn more about what's going on around them? What do you recommend as a first step for people to want to become deprogrammed? And where can people find that information?
The best place, actually, is to study the books on behaviorism by Skinner and others of his ilk, because they were not just talking about human behavior, they were being funded to find out how to understand human behavior and how to alter that and shape it and direct it and use it on a mass scale for the elite's purposes. And so their own books, in fact, condemn them. Very few folk read these particular books. They're easy to read, actually. And Skinner especially was very straightforward. So was Bertrand Russell, if you look at the scientific outlook and the impact of science on society. They spoke on behalf of the world groups that they were already working with to shape the cultures which we now have today. And they were doing this way back from the 1930s right through the 60s, 70s and so on to the present time. The changes were still going through. Some of these men at the top were completely responsible for laying down the program for it step by step, generation by generation, and we're still living through it today. Remembering culture, to change culture, and Plato talks about this, that in culture you have drama. Drama has a tremendous impact on the youth. Today it's movies. Music, too, Plato said, should even be licensed because it could stir the youth to rebellion and turn against their parents, for instance, or the establishment if it was used by those who knew how to use it. He knew this because he studied under Socrates, who was actually condemned to death for trying to disrupt and deviate the youth to turn against their parents. That was the real reason Socrates was put to death. So they understood, even in ancient times, that music was highly effective as a tool to stir people's emotions, young people especially, into rebellion, and shaped and directed rebellion at that. So it's never changed. These techniques are always the same. The churches knew how to use this as well to get the opposite effect, because they built them in such a beautiful way in architecture and experimentation to get the perfect pitch and tones for certain songs and hymns that they sung, which could put you into a meditative state, in a very placid state. And once you've been put into a placid state, you're under almost a hypnotic state. It's very close to sleep and awake. And you can then be programmed by the particular sermon that's put across to you. Today, they use a much more Hollywood technique in the big churches, where they use the high frequencies, which affect the youth especially, very high frequencies, and the very low frequencies. That's why you get them both in popular music. And churches, too, today, they use all the lighting equipment, which is very similar to the strobe equipment that, again, Brandt and the guys who worked with Grateful Dead, who worked with the Air Force, by the way, to bring in the strobe lights along with drugs, for those who don't know this. They were given Air Force hangars to test out strobe lights with the use of drugs, bring young people and have them dance and so on, and study their effects upon them. This is all done by from the top down, not from the bottom. And then you convince the youth, of course, always, that the ideas are coming out of their own generation. They have no idea. It's all done by much older people upon them and put out there for them to grab. But so churches are a big part of it, too. If you watch televangelists especially...
I have to interject here, because I was a music major in school, and I'm struck by the fact that you just mentioned the music in church, because I can only imagine what it would have been like to be in a Gothic cathedral back in the day, and the first time you hear something like Palestrina, you know, where they have separate choirs, multiple voices, it would have just been... I mean, overwhelming would be an understatement to say. If people haven't heard Palestrina, just do a search for him, start page, and listen to some of the music and understand that this was, you know, happening at a time when we were going from Gregorian chant, very mono, you know, tonal, to this multiple tone, just high frequencies and low frequencies and just majestic music and languages that, you know, the natives really didn't speak, would have just been overwhelming. And I just wanted to point that out, that I fully understand what you're saying, and I think think Palestrina.
Yes, literally created in their minds and in their whole being for that time that you were as close to heaven as you could be. That was the idea. You were. This is what heaven was like. It was beautiful, you see. And this is perfectly well understood. Knowledge of human behavior has been going on for thousands of years. It's never lost. It's the most valuable information there is. And governments down through the centuries have always acquired this and made sure they had copies of different studies across the world right up to the present time. And today is pretty well perfected. They know exactly how we tick, how we think, how to we arrive at conclusions. And in fact, most of us don't come to our own conclusions.
Yes. Well, you'll find that techniques have always been used on the public for mind control. Always. The religions and so on were used in centuries gone by, always in collusion with the dominant minority of the country to keep them in place. So when radio came out, Britain, the BBC sprung up very quickly as a propaganda tool for the British government. Even today, it's still run and owned by the British government. Every employee in the past had to come from Eton to make sure it was the right class who ran the whole organization. And it's never changed. And they found out in World War One that they could put out dramas, daily dramas, on to the public and leave you with a cliffhanger, with the hero hanging at the end of it, what's going to happen, tune in tomorrow. And people would change their behavior and be there tomorrow at that time. So it's a technique to alter your behavior. This was also confirmed by Skinner, who talked about technology and so on. And he said that technology, its real influence is to alter the reality of the people into which it's introduced. That's what happens. Look at the people now with their cell phones and iPods and all the rest of it. Their behavior has been altered by technology itself. With the high-definition television, it certainly must be more effective than the last type. The reason you have writing at the bottom of newscasts is it forms a type of cognitive dissonance. It's no different than when you're watching something happening, like a car smash in real life, and someone starts to talk in your ear about some other topic. You say shh, shh, because you're now getting auditory responses and visual from the two classes. What you have to remember is, you see, Skinner, who did behavioral modification techniques and so on, including on his own daughter, he put her in a cage. This is a good psychopath that they tend to use his techniques on us. Skinner said to alter human behavior, you must alter something in their environment. Well, they did that with TV. They did it with radio before TV. And virtual reality is now coming in. Now, TV and radio were used from the beginning for controlling and altering behavior of the general public, authorized from those who control society and own society. Therefore, they're part of the military-industrial complex. We don't realize that. It's like General Electric. They don't just make irons and so on. They also make incredible Gatling guns for helicopters. They can do 1,000 rounds per minute and so on. That's what it's part of. Now, Microsoft, because it was put up from nowhere, it broke all the rules, it stole patents from all the other corporations, and no judge in the country or the world would touch them. That tells you it was top CIA clearance all the way for Mr. Gates. He was the front man. It's part of the military-industrial complex because technology, as I said, at the end of World War II, will control the future and control the peoples of the future. It's therefore a perpetual war upon the public. Anything which comes in to your mind that you haven't authorized and you're not in charge of is controlling you. And therefore, it's planned, debated, and put out to you by those who believe they own society.
So this is an old plan, and it's incremental because we as human beings won't accept say 10, 15 changes in a week, we won't accept it. But if you give us a major change every year or two, we adapt to it very easily without thinking. Look what we adapt to since 2001 with searches and ID cards and so on and yada yada yada. And the fact then they tell us too, they're monitoring all our mail, all our communications, and they have dossiers on every single one of us.
And we adapt to it and adapt to it, and it's no big deal. We're the most adaptable species on the planet, according to Skinner. And his writings and teachings on behaviorism and how to control the masses and the individuals through behavior modification incrementally is being used in us all the time. Training you Pavlovian style, step by step, and that's how they do it with animals. All those animal things that you watched on television and experiment with animals, it was nothing to do with the animal behavior control. It was all to be used on you. And once you become familiar with something in your environment, that's the key to it. That's what Singer talked about in behaviorism, the psychology of behaviorism, and how to control millions of people. You alter the person's behavior by altering their environment. Once you accept a foreign object in your environment, and a guy with a black uniform on and a machine gun is definitely a foreign object in your environment, then the next step is to get you padded down, and you'll accept that. So it's always a step-by-step-by-step process of acceptance in this Pavlovian style, because we're going into an era where the changes they're making are so contrary to everything that you thought was normal, even though normal was given to you as well, because normal keeps changing. It's so contrary to it that, again, it seems an alien to you, completely alien, all of this kind of behavior. Behaviorism was used. Behaviorism, the kind of techniques that Skinner was into on how to remake people, basically, to understand their minds and remake them into what you wanted them to be, was used extensively on them. Tremendous experimentation. And everything we think is normal today is not normal at all. It's completely different from 50 years ago as that was from the 50 years before that. We take things for granted because we adapt so quickly. We're the most adaptable species on this planet.
I got a question. Have you ever read the elites saying anything about if the people become awake in numbers? Have they ever commented on that?
Yes, they have. They've commented a lot on it, in fact, especially on various directives on how to keep the people divided. That's where you'll find it, is how to keep the people divided. It's not hard to divide people through simple things, from religion to genders to everything. You have them all fighting each other so that they won't come together and save themselves. That's the dark beauty, you might say, of their methodology. They understand us very, very well. They know, and Charles Galton Darwin did write about his fears of the masses doing this very, very thing, outbreeding the elite under control, and overcoming the structures that held their society in place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, it's very true what you said about it being lonely in the land of the blind.
It certainly is. But the one-eyed man is king. Yeah. Yes. As long as you have one eye, you're still king. Yeah. Because no one else is looking.
Everything you said there about degrees of waking up and people that can't be woken up and this whole massive structure that's in front of us, they just can't see it. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's interesting. I always use the analogy, which has been used many, many times, because some of the top characters in Skinner and other ones who were into behavioral psychology, and Tavistock did it too in their experiments. They put implants in the brains of rats and tried to find the sexual stimulus area. And they found that once they did that, the rat could pull a lever and it would go into perpetual orgasm. So much so that even when it was stopped, it would pull the lever again and it would starve to death. It wouldn't even eat its food. It preferred having fun, the sensation, than eating or drinking. And when I look at people today, you're seeing them go through the biggest gluttony that's ever been given to them before, with cheap credit, cheap goods been flooding into the country to keep them occupied and happy, and having sex galore like there's no tomorrow, and they're completely oblivious as they have fun, it's like people going around a whirlpool and they don't see the hole where the plug is, and they're all going down together. They're having fun as they go down. And that's the technique that is being used as we go through this whole system. Yeah.
And they only communicate, they only, I found out the hard way, that I can only communicate with them what I call surface talk. It's nothing in any depth.
No. No, they don't want anything that's not on the news. If it's on the news, it might be okay, but anything that requires serious consideration, where there's a fear factor, they will avoid it like the plague. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, I know your show's closing, Alan. I'll let you go. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, it's called egosyntonic behavior, and that's what Bertrand Russell said that they would encourage in society. Just perpetual fun. People who would never mature, their world would revolve around them personally. Me, my, how I feel, me. And that's what you have in society. They have lost touch with the bonding process through others, which is so necessary for all our survival. And that was deliberate. And Orwell made reference to that with his book 1984. When everyone's got a television screen, it's a two-way screen, and the character on TV talks to you, and you're given a number, and you're told your number, and you're told what command to obey, bend down, stand, stretch, exercise, whatever, and that's what's coming down. We have no one to stand round about us to help us. It's divide and conquer, until we lose our ability to help each other. That's the technique that's been used. And there are psychopaths within society. The problem is most of the ones doing the experimentation on the public, unfortunately, are psychopaths themselves. You can see that even with Skinner and the behaviorists. These guys used to take babies and drop them 6 inches to a foot onto hard tables to watch the reactions quite calmly and scribble down notes with their observations, which really fascinated them. These characters are real strange, almost inhumane. Well, they are inhumane, but almost not human, as far as their psychological makeup goes. And Skinner himself invented the Skinner cage, where he brought his own daughter up in it for a while, where she was put into a confined environment, because the whole theory rested on the fact that if you alter a person's environment, you alter their behavior. And unfortunately, once again, they get a lot of power out of a person like Skinner's observations, which they can then use on the public. An example of that is quite simple. The radio and then the television altered the behavior of people. So something in your environment that wasn't there before altered completely your behavior. People used to talk before radio came along, or TV. They used to talk to each other. Strange concept. And they talked about everything that happened in their lives and their speculations, or their wishes, or fantasies, and all that kind of stuff, or their own history and their family history. Things that were rather fascinating. But once radio came in, and then television, suddenly everyone's sitting there all quiet, listening to this little speaker blabbing away, and the fun little man on the screen, and all conversation between people pretty well stopped. When the TV goes off, the conversation is like Brzezinski said, it all comprises of all the info they've just been downloaded with by the television set. That's an example of behavior modification through alteration of your immediate environment, something in your environment. Quite simple, really. But propaganda, as I was talking about earlier, is a technique that's used. Bertrand Russell talked about bringing in Madison Avenue, the big advertising companies, the ones who really understood how to alter the behavior of people by persuasion, mainly by understanding their weaknesses. And once you understand the weakness, you can exploit that weakness. And they did bring the big marketing companies on board. They combined it with behavioral psychology and the Skinner types of behaviors, basically reprogramming through Skinner ideology. And a lot of that does work, and Skinner got his ideas too from Pavlov and others had gone before him, people who are big heroes in the scientific milieu. And yet when you look at what they were doing, they were really psychopathic sadists. Because anyone who can experiment with dogs like Pavlov, and humans, by the way, as well, and stick things in their brains and punish them and shock them and stand by like an insect observing its prey is not totally human. There's something absent in their head. But what makes it more dangerous is that Pavlov and Skinner and all these characters were heavily funded by big foundations. Heavily funded. Massively so. Foundations that have gone through wars, fomenting wars, financing Nazism. They also financed the birth and the maintenance of the Soviet system. Remember what Skinner said, the behaviorist. He said, if you want to change people, an individual or society, he said, all you have to do is change something in their environment. And we adapt to that, you see. We adapt to the thing that's in our... Think of the television, even before that, the radio. And how Tavistock and the BBC realized that through serials, that's continuous shows or a drama, where they leave you at the end of an hour with a cliffhanger where the hero is literally hanging over a cliff, they changed people's habits and to tune in the next day. They'd rush home to tune in the next day to see what happened to this hero. Behavior modification, very simple. And television, everyone's got that glowing box in their homes. You pass house after house at night, and all you see is that bluish-white glow from the windows as they're all sucking on the teat of television, thinking they're being entertained, really thinking that, never knowing they're being brainwashed and downloaded with predictive programming from everything that's on there. You know, there's not a show, if you talk to producers, there's nothing on television in any movie or drama or whatever where the minutest thing that you see, even if you can't remember seeing it, isn't debated and discussed by panels of people, right down to the kind of flower that will be in the little vase at the outer part of the screen. Things which you would think are irrelevant. There's nothing there. So here you are thinking you're being entertained, passing your life away, and you've only got the one life to go. Passing so much hours per day off your life, your life force away, watching someone else's ideas and getting someone else's thoughts, professional people, people whose job it is to get into your mind. And people think they're being entertained. It's fascinating when you sit back and think about it. No coincidence for all this hype today with the United Nations, with their World Health Organization pushing for mandatory global inoculations. Because if you go into the League of Nations, set up at the end of World War I, that's what that was part of their mandate then, to have the right to forcibly vaccinate everybody on the planet with whatever they decided to use. Nothing is here by chance. And sure enough, you know, big players again, like Wells, like Lenin, and like Lord Bertrand Russell, the Huxleys, many others, all said it would probably take, as I say, 100 years. By the millennium, they said, around that time, they'd really kick off for the final push, and everything would be in place by then, which it certainly was. Most of us don't get much of a history at all. If I do, it's a fake history or an altered, distorted history, but primarily it's history with vast omissions written in them. If you don't get the whole story, you can't have a proper conclusion on anything. And we never get the whole story on anything. And we've been trained, as Skinner said, in the Skinnerian psychology, behavioral psychology, without even knowing we've been trained that way. Because we adapt again so easily to everything that comes our way. Skinner said that if you want to alter the behavior of peoples, you just alter something in their environment. And I've gone through before how when the radio first came out, that altered people's behavior. They'd rush home to hear serials, ongoing serials, that always left you with a cliffhanger so you'd tune in the next day. And if you weren't listening to that radio, you'd be off doing something else, you see. And then because you're now listening to that radio, they can also put propaganda in there. And then now everyone's getting the same propaganda, standardized across the board, same propaganda. Then TV came in, of course, fantastic tool. And the British Commonwealth countries really took the lead on propaganda because they'd been at it so much longer in other areas, even through the printed media. That's why the BBC is owned by the government. It's a crown corporation, as they call it. And everyone in it, I don't know if it's still the same, but everyone who works in the BBC had to come from Eton. All the technicians, writers, and so on. To make sure that it was kept in the right class. And governments across the world are implementing the same laws. For their police state world. To make sure that under behavior modification, we all completely change our ways. This is behavior modification. This is Skinnerian techniques. Terrify the people, just like terrifying the dogs. Spying them with cameras everywhere. Internet all their information. Intimidate them until they're quivering. And then you recondition them. That's what you do. And that's what the Soviet-Fabian system, communist system, has always done whenever it's in power. And you're living under this because I said years ago, you had a fascist elite at the top. That's how the world is to be run, who own all the resources of the planet. Mind you, they'll say it's on care of you. It's the people's water. It's the people's electricity. It's the people's oil. But they, of course, will be in charge of it, in charge of the big profits, too. Well, a Sovietized governmental system, a police state, runs the masses from the bureaucracies down. That's already up and running, if you don't know. I read this article before to show you some of this, how this works together. I've talked about Skinner before, behavioral psychology, and how he's a hero, this guy who dropped children, you know, a foot from a bed to see if they'd cry and stuff when they hit the ground, and locked his own daughter in the Skinnerian cage, as they called it, to observe her getting brought up as an animal. This wonder, they're all amazing guys, these paragons of science. They're all psychopaths, and the elite just love them. They pick them well, you know.
You know, Skinner, another big player who helped them all with his amazing experiments on children, especially his own daughter and others, he was a behaviorist, as they call it, said if you want to alter society, you simply put something in their environment, which will, something different in their environment, and it will alter their behavior. The radio was a simple example. People rushed home to hear the radio because they'd give them series or serials. They'd leave you with a cliffhanger every day, and they found right off the bat in the early 1900s, and this is the BBC, of course, that people would rush home to try and find out what happened to the guy who was hanging on the cliff. So behavior was being modified. They knew they could go further with television, and they certainly made good use of it. They could monkey see, monkey do. People copy what they see. They copy the language they hear, the new terms they hear, the new political correctness that they hear is in everything, of course, because television isn't out there just entertaining you at all. It's there to, as a tool, the entertainment factor is the hook to make you follow through what you think are human drama stories and that kind of stuff. Predictive programming, they call it. They prepare you for what's to come and even prepare how you'll react to what's to come by showing you actors doing it in a fictional setting. And you will copy what you see when it happens in real life to you. I just want to talk tonight about behaviorism. Behaviorism is one of the biggest tools used by the elite on us.
And of course, that's why they allowed really deviant characters to experiment with babies and do terrible things that normally you'd be locked up for. When you see these guys doing these things, you know they're being protected by those who own the government. And I really mean that. The governments are owned, not by the people. Because guys like B.F. Skinner and others who have really done incredible, and Simpson too, they're incredible work dropping babies onto tables and things and picking them up by the heels and dropping them again and terrifying them to see if they could modify behavior and use Pavlovian responses to create fear responses, etc. But what they found too, and Skinner did put it out pretty well and clearly, he said that you alter people's behavior by altering anything in their environment. And this is the key to how you're all being upgraded yourselves by technology. And anything, even the radio, when the radio was introduced, that changed people's behavior. They'd sit around and listen to shows every day, their favorite shows. The BBC was expert at that right from the beginning. They were the ones who discovered the serial, the daily serial. So you had to tune in the next day to find out how the hero managed to get back up on the cliff that he was hanging off of the night before. So it changed your behavior, and people would scramble around and hear it. Then television took over, and they started with youngsters, the Saturday serials, to make sure they'd tune in every Saturday, modifying everyone's behavior. Apart from the fact you mimic what you see, and it's a great tool for reconditioning you into political correctness and giving you ideas which really are not yours at all, but they'll become your ideas because experts format this stuff to be put across in a certain way that generally omits half of the rest of the truth. Now, I've mentioned before that we're always under, and that's the same thing too with many other of the behaviorists and scientists they employed to do with the mind and mass behavioral studies, etc. And Skinner was another one too, who even put his own daughter in his special Skinnerian cage to test out her responses and so on and so on. They dropped babies from certain heights to see how long, you know, what was the minimum height that wouldn't affect them or have them screaming. And it's all on film, by the way. It's all up on YouTube, a lot of these old studies that they did. And you'll see them doing this kind of stuff, you know, or hitting them on the head with a hammer. I mean, how did they get away with this? Because your government was never yours, and your government was all behind this. That's why they were never arrested and charged for anything. Very important to see how we all tick, you see, and what can be done to us to alter our behavior.
This is not pleasant news, but see, people have been taught to be egocentric, and that was also advocated by people like Lord Bertrand Russell and others, and Skinner, the behaviorist, because they said if they can create egocentrism within people, they'll avoid that which is painful and look for pleasure. So they give you all the things you pleasure about, and you suck the television like it was some kind of teat as you take your downloads and your professionally organized data through comedies and movies and what's passed as news. And you avoid all the unpleasant things. And even the unpleasant things, which you'll show in the occasional media thing, is wrapped in such surrealism, it doesn't become real anymore. It's a form of disassociation it causes between fact and fantasy.
From myself, Alan Ward. It's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.